Exodus is the story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares how you can break the chains that enslave you.
I don't know what may go wrong this week. There may be a dead battery. There may be a flat tire. There may be somebody tell you, get this out of my face. I'm just here to tell you that if you try to serve God and advance the gospel, some kind of opposition may come in your life. But don't let the devil have the victory. Be faithful to the Lord, because our God is more powerful than anything Satan can throw against us.
The story of Israel is the story of us today. We are God's people, and He has drawn us out of bondage into a personal relationship with Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Out of Bondage, we will learn the story of Exodus, grow in our awe and worship of God, and celebrate the one who can deliver us from the bondage of sin, fear, and guilt. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called God's Game Plan.
If you ever take the time to study Romans chapter 1, you're going to find a description of the ancient Greek world. And you're going to find that these people, though they knew there was a creator God, they chose to reject the creator and to worship rather the creation. And they chose to reject God's plan for male and female. And they chose to reject God's plan of monogamy and faithfulness. And they began to live how they wanted to live. And even though God reached out to them, they rejected and they hardened their hearts until finally Romans 1:24, God gave them up to uncleanness. In other words, it wasn't simply that God did not reach out to them and then gave them up. It was that they hardened their heart and they hardened their heart and they hardened their heart. And finally, God let them have their way. How many of you know today that there are people on social media, there are people in the athletic world, in the political world, and they've heard about the gospel, they've heard about an evangelistic crusade, maybe with a Billy Graham or a radio broadcast, and somebody's invited them, and yet they have rejected and rejected and rejected, and it's a tragedy, my friend, and I cannot tell you when someone reaches that point, when they finally get to the place, and God says, all right, you can have your way. You want life without me? Then it will affect you. You want to live in this way, according to Romans 1:24, dishonoring your body between yourself. You want to have the diseases. You want to have children who cry for the separation. You want to have eternity in hell. Then all right, you can have your way. And may I say to you, it's a tragic thing if you're here today and you've been hard in your heart towards God. Let me encourage you this morning. Open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not harden your heart. It's a terrible thing to say no. No to Almighty God. Well, Pharaoh kept saying no, and he kept saying no. And so finally God says, listen, he has a stubborn heart. Author Bill Bennett years ago made this statement, in a rebellious age, strong preaching will be held in contempt. And many times those that are rebellious, they'll say, look, give me 30 minutes of rock music and a little message that tells me how good I am. But don't give me strong preaching. Don't tell me about sin and the penalty of sin. And don't tell me that I need to live for God. I want to live the way I want to live. And many times people are very rebellious toward the message of God. And that was the case of this man named Pharaoh. The Bible says in verse 4, in fact, as God is telling Moses what to expect, he said, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. He's not going to listen to you. And sadly, that's been the case with many throughout history. Karl Marx himself had memorized the four gospels before rejecting and becoming a leader in communism. Stalin had attended Sunday school class and knew about Jesus Christ, but he willfully hardened his heart. And so it was with Pharaoh. He had a rebellious will. And that's why the Bible speaks in Ephesians 2 and 1 and says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were of the nature the children of wrath, even as others." In other words, there were many in the church at Ephesus who were somewhat hardened and they had lived a rough life, but God saved them. And that's why the Bible says here in verse number 1, "You hath he quickened." Aren't you thankful today for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So there may be some that are hard to the point of never listening. There are others that God will work on their heart. But whether they smile or frown, whether they say, "I'll come" or "I'll never come," that's not up to me. What's up to me is to follow the command of God, to be God's messenger boy and take the message out into our community. And so we see this caution concerning the hardness of Pharaoh. But also we see in this caution that there is the help of God that is promised. I want you to notice that very quickly. It says in verse number 4, "But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies." God says, listen, he's not going to accept your invitation. He's not going to allow the children to leave. But I want you to know there's a reason for that. Because my angel armies are ready, and there are plagues that are ready, and I'm going to show my hand mighty to Egypt, and I'm going to let them know that these are my people, the children of Israel. And make no mistake about it, Moses, when I'm all done with this, everybody's going to know that Jehovah God is God, that I am is God, and that the eternal God and the everlasting and all-knowing God is in control of this situation. I will help you. And the reason that God is going to help is twofold. First, for the release of the children of Israel, he's going to bring forth his armies. And secondly, verse 5 says, "And that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." Egypt, when this is all over, is going to know that Jehovah God is in control. God says they're going to know this. And may I say to you this morning, Lancaster needs to know that there is a God in heaven, and he's not an old man on a rocking chair. He's the creator God of this universe, and he's still in control, and that he will have his way. And Lancaster needs to know there's still power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why John 3 and 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And that's what we want to do this week. We want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to exalt him so that men and women and boys and girls can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we see a command. Moses, go speak to Pharaoh. Go knock on Pharaoh's door. And we see a caution. Now, Moses, he may not receive you readily, for he has a hard heart. Nevertheless, I'm working and I'm still in control. We see the command and we hear the caution. But I want you to see, thirdly, there's a confirmation that's given. There's a confirmation that's given here to Moses. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." Now, the power of God was going to be seen firsthand by the Egyptians on this visit to Pharaoh's home. And I want you to see in this confirmation, there is, first of all, a repeated instruction. A repeated instruction. And the reason I call it a repeated instruction, God had already told Pharaoh to throw the rod down and it would become a snake. This is the second visit to Pharaoh. On the first visit, Moses had not thrown the rod down. And so we see again, God is instructing him. In Exodus chapter 4, he said, "If it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign." Exodus 4:21, "And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in mine hand, but I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go." So here are these instructions. Moses, I want you to do all these wonders. I want you to throw down the rod that it might turn into a snake. And God is repeating that instruction. Now, how many of you are like me? Sometimes you need to hear something more than once. Anybody else? Am I the only one? Remember years ago, my granddad was teaching me how to shoot a rifle, and he said, "Now, Paul, this is a 7mm. It's got a lot of kick to it." And he said, "What I want you to do when you shoot this gun, I want you to pull it tightly up to your shoulder, pull it real tight." And he said, "When you pull the trigger, I want you just to squeeze that round off, you know." And I said, "All right, all right, all right." And I wasn't really listening. I just was so excited to shoot it, you know. And I thought, who can't shoot a gun, you know? And I can figure this out. And he said, "Now just get the target just this way." Well, it was my time finally to shoot, and I pulled that gun up, but just kind of casually had it on my shoulder. Boom, I pulled that trigger, and boom, that scope came right back and hit me in the forehead. I mean, for about a month, I was black and blue and bloody and walking around like a monster, you know. And all because I didn't hear the instruction well the first time. Now, the next time I shot that gun, I remember those instructions. And Moses had received instructions, but he had to have them repeated. Just like every Christian knows that they're supposed to be a witness. Every Christian knows that. Sometimes I'll knock on doors, as I did this week, two or three different times, and people will say, "Oh," they'll say, "It's so good that your church does this. Our church should do this." I mean, every Christian knows that Christians are supposed to tell people about Jesus, but sometimes we need to have it repeated. Sometimes we need to be reminded. So it's a repeated instruction. And then notice, secondly, it's a repeated assurance. He says, "When you do this, Moses," verse number 9, "it shall become a serpent." He said, "I want you to know that I'm going to prove myself powerful in Pharaoh's midst." How many of you are thankful that faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it? God says, if you'll take my message out, just get the word out. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, God says, if you'll just get my word out, it will do the rest. Faithful is he that calleth, who also will do it. God says, listen, Moses, if you'll just throw that rod down, I'll take care of the rest. That's my assurance. And to us, he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." In other words, you don't have to ask your boss to attend church, and you don't have to witness to a friend on the shuttle bus and feel like you're all alone. God says, "I've got the power. I'll be there with you. You just get the message out. I'll take it from there." And that's what God's confirmation was for Moses. "Moses, you do your part. I'll do my part. You do your part. I'll do my part." So we see here a wonderful story unfolding. We see, first of all, a command. And that is a command that is given. Take my message to Pharaoh. We see a caution. Don't be discouraged if he doesn't accept it right away. We hear a confirmation. I'm going to give you my power, and I'm going to go with you. Now, so far, all three of these are from God himself. God gives the command. God gives the caution. God gives the confirmation. This is all about God wanting to reach and receive his people and bring them out. But I want you to see the final thought this morning, and that is a commitment. A commitment. Now, the commitment was not God's part. This was Moses' part. This would be Moses' part. And this would be our part this week. And I want you to notice in verse 10, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." So I want you to see, first of all, the bold obedience of Moses. It finally comes down to it. God gave the command. God gave the caution. God gave the confirmation. He's helping Moses. He's encouraging Moses. But at some point, Moses had to knock on Pharaoh's door. At some point, he had to go do what God told him to do. And so it was in verse number 10. Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. I don't know who that will be for you this week. A friend at work, the boss at work, the happy neighbor, the mean neighbor, the neighbor that's never there, the neighbor that's there too much. I don't know which one. But there's somebody that you can go and you can knock on their door and you can bring the message of God to them. And it doesn't matter if they smile or frown. It's just our job to get the message into their heart. We see this bold obedience. And so first of all, he goes before the monarch. And the Bible says he stands before Pharaoh. And this obedience took a lot of faith. And for some of you, it might take faith to give a gospel tract to someone. It might take faith to talk to someone about your faith in Jesus Christ. But Jesus said in John 20:21, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And so even as God was sending Moses, he has sent his church, and we are to be his messenger in this day in which we live. So he stands before the monarch and gives the message. But notice, secondly, he stands before the magicians. Now notice this, if you would, in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." Now notice this, if you would. Moses and Aaron being used of God. Moses and Aaron showing forth the power of God. But listen very, very carefully. If you are going to be involved in sharing Christ with someone else, there's going to be satanic opposition against you, because it's a spiritual warfare, and Satan doesn't want to give up territory. He doesn't want people to believe on Jesus Christ. And here we see in ancient Egypt that there was sorcery and demonism. Here we see that even Satan has power to perform miracles. That's why our faith should never be based on signs and wonders alone. Our faith should be based upon the Word of God. And we see here in this moment that the magicians are going to fight back. And I want you to remember something, and I want you to look at 2 Corinthians in your notes, chapter 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So the God of this world is blinding people today. There are people today who will worship a whale or worship the creation, but not the Creator. There are people today who will be involved through drugs and alcohol with a blindedness, but never will they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here the bold obedience of Moses to go into the satanic stronghold of Pharaoh's house and preach the gospel. Now someone said this, "How were these magicians able to replicate the miracles of the rod turning into the snake? It was either through mere trickery and showmanship, or God allowed Satan to empower them for a deceitful miracle. In either case, they were not acting on the power of the one true God as Moses and Aaron were." You see, Satan has power, and Satan can duplicate or replicate or attempt to copy the things that God alone can do. And that's why you need to be careful. Not everyone that's on television as a preacher is preaching the true gospel. Not everything that's called a church is a true New Testament church. And that's why we need to be careful when there are ecumenical types of Bible studies and we're just all going to talk about God, to make sure that it's truly founded on the Word of God. In fact, notice what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." I think of Joseph Smith and the Mormon church, and I've seen the statues they've made of Joseph Smith and claiming that he and Brigham Young were apostles that were born out of due time. Ladies and gentlemen, the apostles were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ in the first century, and yet there are many false apostles today. The Bible says in verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also shall be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So here we see this bold obedience by Moses, and yet these counterfeit magicians that are fighting against. And I just tell you this, I don't know what may go wrong this week. There may be a dead battery. There may be a flat tire. There may be somebody tell you, "Get this out of my face." I'm just here to tell you that if you try to serve God and advance the gospel, some kind of opposition may come in your life. But don't let the devil have the victory. Be faithful to the Lord. Here's a bold obedience by Moses. Notice finally, their blessed obedience. Verse 12, I just love this part. Look what it says. "For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." Now, how many of you would like to have been there and seen that, right? I don't know how many magicians there were, just for the sake of imagination. Let's say there were 20 of them, right? And somehow through some mystical whatever, or God allowing, somehow they throw it down, and now there's all these little snakes down there. And suddenly, God's snake eats all of their snakes for lunch. If I'd have been there, I'd have been going, oh yeah, my God, he's powerful. Look what he just did right there. Yeah, you better watch out. Listen, next Sunday morning, about 10 minutes from this time right now, by the grace of God, wouldn't it be wonderful if so many people were saved that we would just be saying, oh yeah, that's our God. He has power to deliver. He has power to save. Look what God did. Yes, there's a lot of hard hearts, but God touched those hearts and saved some souls today because our God is more powerful than anything Satan can throw against us. Amen. And that's what this is all about. It's about God blessing the obedience of his people. God's power is enough to overcome any obstacle. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, God is still in the life-changing business. And I know how Satan fights. He tries to destroy homes. I think of a little girl that came to our church years ago. Her name was Anna. She rode our buses to church. Thank God, the Lancaster Baptist Church, and thank God through our tithes and offerings that this morning 14 or 15 buses went out into neighborhoods picking up children who otherwise would not even come to church. Boys and girls whose fathers, most of them, are bums. You say, why do you use the term bum? I'm talking about men that are hung over on Sunday morning when they ought to be bringing their kids to church. I'm talking about men using their grocery money to buy marijuana. I'm talking about men who are out partying when they ought to be taking their children to McDonald's and spending time with them. A lot of times our bus workers bring their children in so that we can teach them the love of God and how they can know Christ as their Savior. And one of those little girls several years ago, her name was Anna. And Anna came and she got saved at Lancaster Baptist Church. And after she got saved, you know what she wanted more than anything in life? She wanted her dad to get saved. And she began telling her dad, Dad, would you come to church? By the way, how many of you know that it would be as hard for a little girl to tell that to an alcoholic father as it was for Moses to tell that to Pharaoh? And she began saying, Dad, would you come to church? Dad, would you come to church? I remember that October when he came and trusted Christ as Savior. God began to work in his life. I remember that Christmas, and Anna wrote me a card, and I'll never forget what it said. And she said, Dear Pastor, thank you for this church and for your preaching. I know that you work very hard to do that stuff. We are very happy to have you here. This year, my dad learned how not to drink and smoke and how to be nice. Thank you, and God bless you. Love, Anna. I'm here to tell you this morning there's Annas all over Lancaster just hoping their daddy would get saved. And some of you work with their dads. And some of you work with their moms. And these people need somebody to be bold enough to step into their world and invite them to hear about someone who can change their life forever, the Lord Jesus Christ. God blessed Moses' obedience. And God will bless your obedience and my obedience. And I want you just to think about this as we close this morning. Just a simple application from the Old Testament. The first thing we've seen is a command from God. And I want you to think about this. God gave a command, and the command is simple. Thou shalt speak, so send I you. And God gives a caution. Not everyone's going to jump up and down and say thank you. Don't be discouraged. And God gives a confirmation. I'm going to be with you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Don't worry, I'll go with you. You see, God gave the command, but we, as his children, must make the commitment to do what he's called us to do.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.